Hi guys, we're your hosts Jillian
and Kaylin,
and this is Teach Me How to Adult,
a podcast on all the things you never learned growing up, like how to buy a home, manage stress, crush your love life, land your dream job,
and how to love yourself more, because we could all be a little kinder to ourselves.
We're still figuring out how to get our shit together, so we're calling in the experts and the hustlers for some real talk and legit tips on how to live your best life.
Adulting isn't easy, but we got you.
Hi, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of Asking for a Friend, where we tackle your biggest questions and deep dive into the experiences we're going through in our own lives. Today, we are answering a question that Miss Jill gets asked a lot, and that's, how do you travel the world solo? Because if anyone has seen her Instagram, they would be jealous of all your freaking travels. So
I'm really annoying. I'm very sorry.
No, you're not obnoxious about it. But yeah, you've traveled literally all over the world, and you've done it a lot of the times solo, which is so badass. So I think it's just really friggin' cool that you do that. And a lot of people are like, how can I do that? So I'm excited.
Yeah. I think it's intimidating to a lot of people at first, but it's addictive. Once you start doing it, you're never going to want to travel with anybody again. So I also have to apologize. I have to apologize in advance. I am sick. So if I sound like Daffy the Duck today, just bear with us. We're working through flu season, kids.
I personally think you sound super sexy and sultry, but
we'll fix it in post. Yeah, this is definitely going to be a love letter to solo travel because I'm obsessed with it. Also with some cautionary tales sprinkled through it that I learned on this past trip. So stay tuned because I have definitely romanticized solo travel a lot, but I also kind of got my ass kicked on this last one. So we're gonna dive into the good, the bad, the ugly, but mostly the good.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's kick things off with our first question. When did you first start traveling alone and what inspired you to do it?
So my first solo trip was a big juicy one. I went to India probably like 8 years ago, and it was kind of a hybrid. Parts of it I did alone, parts of it I did a tour. At one point I stayed in an ashram for like a week, but didn't know anyone, went on my own, and then had some solo parts and some joining on tour parts, which is a really good way to do it if you're if you want to go to a place where you're a little scared and uncertain of how to navigate it, you don't know the language, you're worried if it might be dangerous. It's a great idea to like join a bit of a tour just to get your feet wet, to like learn the lay of the land, and then, you know, go forth on your own for the rest of the trip. So that is what I did.
That's so smart. It's also probably such a good way to meet people and just kind of break the ice when you're alone too.
Exactly. All the places that I've gone solo. India, Australia, I did a road trip through California to all the national parks. That was incredible. Scotland, England, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Morocco. And through all of those, I met so many people along the way. So even though you go traveling on your own, doesn't mean you need to do everything on your own. Like, you can join some tours. But really, like, what inspired me to do this in the first place, it's usually a pivotal change. We all have our little routines that we do when we're going through big changes, and mine at one point was like, change something with my body, like either get a tattoo or get bangs and go on a trip. And it's honestly, it's the best. The first one for India, I had just gone through a brutal breakup. I was just like having trouble jumpstarting my career. I was feeling super lost, and that trip to India truly did change my life. It changed my mindset. It got me out of a bad place, and it set the course of like how I wanted to live and who I wanted to be. And I think solo travel really enables you to do that because you are shocked out of your rut. You are exploring exactly who you want to be in a new environment where you don't owe anyone any specific version of yourself. It's a really great way to just jumpstart change if you want to change or evaluate, you know, your future, who you want to be. So every trip I've done really solo has done that for me.
And you found like it actually helped you when you came back. You were able to keep those things in practice. Like, I think a lot of people go soul searching, but if they don't, like, how did you bring it home and keep that like spark alive?
I think this is where a lot of people struggle. They come back from big trips and then they nosedive. Like, they just have the biggest come down, and a come down is natural because like reality will kick your ass. Obligations set in. It's not fun. But if you can really isolate, what was it on that trip that made me so happy? Was it, you know, freedom? Was it that every day I woke up and did this? Was it that I spoke to more strangers? Was it that I looked at beautiful things? Like, what made you so happy on that trip? And then if you can apply that every day, even in small ways, you will change your life. So in India, it was discovering mindfulness, like truly, it was discovering meditation. It was discovering like these incredible practices in these ashrams that changed my life. And it was like doing exercise where you gaze into the eyes of strangers who are going through hell, they're going through cancer, they're going through loss, and you have to share your lives with them. And that really reminded, yeah, it was a life-changing experience, truly. Wow. But that really showed me, like, when I come home, I need to approach humans as humans, not as just like a coworker, a stranger on the street who cut you off, you know, like everyone has a story. And so that changed how I felt about like humanity. And then this last trip I just went to in Morocco, like changed the way I thought of creativity and how I want to, it was a writer's retreat with this like amazing group of people. And it really changed the course of how I want to proceed in my career and what I want to do. And so, you know, some of these things may not apply to everyone who's listening. Like your goal could just be to have a great time and like go to Australia for a month like I did and see beautiful shit and be happy. And that's cool. Just set that intention and then follow it through and then really do a bit of work to figure out how to apply it when you get home. Like write down a list of like what made me happy, what was so life-changing about this trip, and then figure out how do I apply it every day. And maybe that just means like taking yourself out for some solo dinners or some little one a week solo date, because then you get to like go somewhere new, like be a tourist in your own city, whatever it was. You can apply that spark that you had when you were traveling to your life back home if you just take the time to do that work and figure it out.
I love that. That's brilliant, because you're totally right. It's so easy to just nosedive back into work and all your responsibilities when you come home. But like finding that little spark and keeping it alive when you're back is going to just make everything better.
Yeah, you can ride that high for a while. But yeah, I think it really starts with like going into trips with like, what do I want to do on this trip? Really, what intention. Do I want to gain from it? In a good way, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that is what you will start to figure out. Even on this last trip to Morocco, it was the writing trip. And like, I had such lofty goals for that. I was like, I'm going to have my entire career figured out by the time I get back. I'm going to know exactly what my goals are. I'm going to know exactly what to do with my writing and how to proceed. That's not what I came back with. What I came back with was like a really deep understanding of some of the mindset work that I need to do, how much in my way I've been getting, how much in my head I've been, and how much more I could improve my creativity and my work if I change the way that I'm thinking. And so it was a lot more internal and a lot less like step one, get a book publisher, you know?
Yeah.
So you won't always take away what you went in there for, but you will at least have like a purpose.
Yeah. And even though you had set one intention and then, you know, pursued something else without even realizing it, you still are like growing from all of these trips, which is amazing. Like I feel like every time you come back from an epic trip, you're a different person in the best way. Not that you weren't great before, but you've grown in some capacity.
It's true. And I usually time my trips for when I'm like not in a good place. So you see me before, like Kayla and I will chat before, and I'll be like in the fucking depths of despair. And then I come back and I'm like, life is beautiful.
Like, I know. I'm like, give me your fucking vibes right now. I love this.
Yeah.
Okay. That was all literally gold through my ear holes. That's a weird thing I've never said before.
I hope you say it every day for the rest of your life.
But I would love to know why someone should consider solo traveling. I mean, after hearing all that, I'm kind of like, sign me up. But in your own words, why would someone consider it?
So I really believe that solo travel is like the fastest form of therapy that I've done. That's not to say it replaces therapy. You still need to do therapy if you need therapy. But the self-realization and the shit that I've learned about myself, it is so sped up. Everything is like accelerated when you're traveling. Everything is heightened. And so it's not always rainbows and butterflies. And actually, usually the first 1 to 2 days of my trips, I'm like a little depressed and I'm like feeling a little anxious and isolated. And then I hit my, so don't go away for only 2 days, but then I hit my stride and then I'm like riding a high and I'm so freaking happy. But it is an emotional roller coaster and you can feel a lot, especially when you're alone with your feelings. So when you're traveling with other people, they are a bit of a crutch for you. You know, like you might not meet as many people because you're there with your friend or your partner or your family.
Right.
I think you just get exposed to a lot more on your own. There's also autonomy. And like, if you're anything like me, I am a very anxious people pleaser. So when I travel with other people, I am really concerned Are they having a good time? Are they doing what they want to do? Am I getting up early enough? The answer is always no. Like, I'm thinking more about them than I am about what I want, and usually compromising a lot. And travel is the one time in my life that I want to be fucking selfish. Like, I want to do what I want to do at my own pace. You get to be selfish. You get to do a lot of self-exploration. And the other thing I love about it is you will get to figure out who you want to be without the pressure of showing up in a certain way. You know, like, we all have dynamics. Like, if you're going away with your partner, your husband, your sister, you have like a pre-baked dynamic. Like, one of you is probably a bit more like in charge, or one of you is the organized one. We all have these roles that we play in our relationships, and we fall into them and then we continue to perpetuate them. But when you're on your own, you get to figure out whoever the fuck you want to be every single day. And it's really cool.
True.
Yeah. I feel like when I travel with like friends or people that I know, I just fall into my same habits and patterns and nothing changes. Yeah. But that like self-work and therapy comes because you're completely out there on your own. And there's days where like I won't talk to a soul. I'll be super introverted. I will be at restaurants by myself with a book. And then there's days where I go to like 5 different bars and drink and meet people and party with like a shit ton of Irish people. And like, it's the best.
I love that.
You get to decide and you don't have to owe anything to anyone, and you get to just whatever feels right. I compare it a lot to like the idea of intuitive eating, where it's like, you know what you want, you know what your body wants. So you don't need to like pre-decide what you are and aren't allowed to have and to eat and everything. And that's right. What solo travel is to me. I'll wake up. And if I had a horrible sleep and I'm like, I don't want to get up at 7 today, I'm going to feel like shit, then I fucking sleep in. And if I had a plan for today of like, I want to go to this beautiful monument and then I want to go to this historical place. And if I'm like, oh, I really feel like I just need to be near water, so I'm going to pivot this and I'm going to go to the ocean and I'm going to do a hike. You just get to feel what feels right for you every day and then decide that. And that flexibility comes, I think, from being alone, because other people might have different expectations.
Yeah, that freedom part of it is probably what's most appealing to a lot of people, especially if, like, to your point, we fall into these dynamics. Like, Gabe is totally the over-preparer planner of everything when we travel, and I just show up and I'm like, la, 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 la. Like, the poor guy, he would probably really enjoy traveling solo now that I think about it. But it's true, you kind of fall into these, like, preconceived, you know, roles, and that gets all erased when you're solo, and you can just like literally seize the day and do whatever the fuck you want because it's your time.
It's the best, man. The fastest way to make a change is to change your environment. And I know people are like, I actually, when I went to India, my super shitty ex-boyfriend was just like, the last message he sent before I blocked his number forever was, you can run off to India and like try to change where you are, but that's never going to change like who you are, or something awful. But the point was, like, he couldn't have been more wrong. When people are like, don't run away from your problems. And I get that. You can't just like pack up and move if you're having a bad month. But having an environmental change actually does accelerate changes if you're open to them. It gets you out of a rut. It shocks you out of it. And it will literally require you to do something different. Like, when you're in a routine, it's really hard to change things. Just breaking out of the status quo will help you create change in your life. So if you're really stuck, it's a good time to travel.
I feel like it, and I'm saying this from the perspective of moving away somewhere new, not traveling, but I feel like it kind of allows you to do like a bird's eye view perspective on your life when you're alone and you're a little bit more isolated than you normally are. And especially if you're traveling, to your point, there's different languages and you're just like, what the shit is going on here? It just kind of lets you, like, I don't know. An out-of-body experience, I'm sure.
You come back with this fresh perspective. Yes. You're totally right. Something that I was incredibly upset and honestly really angry about before I left for this trip. I met so many deep, lovely people on this last trip to Morocco who gave me so much perspective, and I came back and I have no anger left. I just have like some sadness and some compassion, but no anger, because it just reminded me that like everyone's just struggling and everyone's just trying their best, and I don't have any room left to be mad about things. If anything, I just have empathy.
Wow, that's powerful.
I feel that like alone was worth it.
Some of that.
yeah.
Okay, so how did you decide where to go in all of your travels?
First of all, let's be real. It's usually weather-based. Like, the very first thing you need to do when you go somewhere is figure out, what is the weather going to be at that time of year? Because, like, you don't want to go somewhere at fucking tsunami season, you know? Like, no. You need to know that it's going to be decent. So I look up climate first and foremost, and then I look at like what my intention is and also what I think will really inspire me at that time. So like when I decided on going to Sevilla in Spain, I wanted to see like a really cool, beautiful historical city. And that was very inspiring to me. But a lot of the time it's like nature. Like I really, really get a lot from nature. So when I went to Australia for like a month, I was like, I want to have so much fun. I want to see beautiful, beautiful places. And I wanted something that was easy. Like Australia is not a big learning curve. Like they speak English, you know, Sydney feels exactly like Toronto. Melbourne is super charming. That was very simple. With India, I was like, I need a life-changing reset where I can learn an entirely different way of being. And so that's what fueled that. If it's your very first trip and you're really nervous, it is easier to go somewhere where you know people do speak English, because that can be a huge, huge learning curve when you're completely by yourself. But yeah, I really align it with my intention. I've always wanted, for example, to go to Morocco. I've heard lots of cautionary tales about going as a woman alone. So I've been kind of back and forth. Do I go with people? Do I join a tour? What do? I saw this writing retreat from a poet who I really, really admire. And I was like, okay, this is perfect. Now I get to go to Morocco. I won't be alone the entire time. I can dip my toe in with like a curated experience that they've put together. Yeah. And then I can continue the rest of the voyage by myself, knowing like the do's and don'ts. And because I did that, I honestly think I had a better experience than anyone I've ever spoken to in Morocco, because a lot of my friends were like, I didn't always feel comfortable. Or,
well, it kind of goes back to what you were saying too, how like the first 2 days feel a little uneasy and unsettling. So if you were to start your trip with an organized tour and a group and with like-minded people, in your case, all doing the writing retreat, you probably felt a little safer in Morocco afterwards, because you were just like, I can do this. Like, I'm good. I've eased into my new environment and let's fucking go.
Yeah. And then you have people you can like meet up with later, because I met them on the retreat. They stuck around a bit extra. So, like, so did I. It's a great way to do it. But yeah, I really think it comes down to you. What's your intention? Safety, climate. And then everything falls together after that.
So going back to how like the first 2 days are tough, you've touched on that, but do you ever get lonely or bored? And if so, how do you cope with those feelings when you're away? Like, how do you not just like throw in the towel and fly home?
Yeah, there's times where I'm just like, I get a bit homesick. I just want to leave. But I always stick it out, because it's just a moment. And the lifespan of an emotion, unless you really sink in it, is like 90 seconds or something. So if you can get through like that hard, like stabbing feeling of like, I'm so alone right now, and then go do something immediately, it does really help. I never get bored, because there's so fucking much to do and the world is your oyster. It's amazing. But in terms of loneliness, when you're exploring, you don't really get lonely, because you're like looking at things, you're engaging in things, there's lots of people around. But it's those moments where you like go back to your hotel or Airbnb or whatever it is, and you're by yourself, or you're out for dinner and everyone's having fun and you're by yourself. So I will bring a book often and read something, or I'll use that time. Like, I know it's a nice idea to be super present and like not on your phone, but fuck it. I use that alone time to like start editing all my photos and my videos. I also am pretty fly by the seat of my pants. So those lone moments of stillness is usually when I start planning like what I'm going to do the next day, or like use those moments to like research where you're at. You can also just talk to people. I always sit at the bar when I'm eating alone, and then you can innately just speak to the chefs or the bartenders or whoever's there, or people that sit beside you, rather than getting your own table, because you're guaranteed to have some built-in interaction. I go to bars alone, and that's really hard for some people, but like you don't need to feel foolish being alone and having a bit of a drink at the bar. Like, it's all good. No one cares. No one is judging you. They're probably intrigued by you. So once you get past your own discomfort for standing in social environments by yourself, you can just talk to people, like asking for advice. If you're out somewhere and there's a lot of locals, just start up the conversation by saying like, oh, are you from here? Looking for another great cocktail bar. I think I'm going to leave here soon. Do you have any recommendations or favorite places? It will start a conversation. So
people love helping.
Yeah, they love helping. They love to feel like they've helped someone. So yeah, I mean, either sink into the loneliness and just spend time with yourself and try to enjoy it instead of making that time your enemy, or freaking talk to people. Like, that's kind of the coolest part of it all. You're going to talk to so many people that you would have never met otherwise.
Kate, on that, do you have any more tips on how people can put themselves out there and meet people when you're traveling solo if you don't want to spend the whole trip by yourself?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about joining tours right off the bat so that you meet people. That's a great way to do it. The Airbnb experiences, that will kind of embed you with locals. I've never done this, but I've spoken to a lot of people who have done like Bumble, BFF, or different apps or dating apps when they're traveling abroad, and they'll put in their bio, I mean, hey, maybe you are looking for a date, and then like, do you, boo? But if you're not, you can like you can go join all of these apps and like set them to wherever you are and say like, looking for like friendships during my week here. There's also a lot of Facebook groups and forums that I actually just joined this year for solo travelers. Like if you're a solo female traveler, there's literally a Facebook group called Solo Female Travelers, and you can get advice from people there and also sometimes like meet people around the world. So if you're like, oh, I'm heading to Paris by myself and like I'm looking for recommendations, someone in that group might be like, I live in Paris, like what's up, do you like, I'm happy to take you out for lunch. Also, if you have friends that live abroad or know people who live abroad, ask them to hook you up with someone.
Dude, I am so inspired by this chat. Like, I want to travel solo. I feel like I can't because I have a child, but I really want to go.
But you could do a small dose because you're in Vancouver. That's close to California. You could do a long weekend in California by yourself. True. And that is the perfect go. You love hiking. Go to freaking Sequoia National Park by yourself.
Oh my God.
Rent a car when you get there and have 3 or 4 days by yourself because that's the perfect toe dipper. It's not a wild amount to be away from home. And you'll do some frickin' soul searching in that time and you'll see some beautiful shit and you'll just get to be like, do a little reset. You should do it, man.
Such a good idea.
I feel like especially parents of anyone in the frickin' world, I feel like parents desperately all deserve this. They really, really do. I know it's a lot harder when you're a parent, but like even little micro doses of this can change your life.
Change your life. And that's true. That's a very good point. You don't always necessarily have to go somewhere like crazy. Like you could probably, if you're just dipping your toe, as you said, go somewhere a little bit close to home so it's less like daunting flying across the world.
If you're in Toronto, go to Montreal or New York for like an extra long weekend by yourself. Like that's such a good way to start doing this. And then you're going to get comfortable with it. And then you're going to be ready to go to freaking Indonesia, India, wherever you want to go.
Yes. Do it, folks. Do it. Okay, I have a question about maximizing your time and seizing the day. How do you like organize your days? You kind of touched on it briefly, but like how do you seize the day?
So it depends on the type of trip you're doing, because now I have done like remote work while traveling and just vacation type traveling. And I think more than ever, people around the world are able to do remote travels. And so those are two very, very different kinds of trips. So when I went away this past spring, I was working and there's a time difference, which, you know, that also contributes a lot to how you're going to shape your day. So I was trying to be roughly around the hours of Toronto time while I was in Europe and UK. And in those cases, I would wake up in the morning, do an entire hike or beautiful excursion, and then start my workday. And then end it with a really nice late night dinner out. So if you're working while traveling, you're basically just living your best life and like getting paid.
I was just going to say, that's like a really good fucking day at home.
But like actually living your life. Yeah.
I love that.
It was, you know, there were some challenges, but it was great. I loved it. I would love to work that way for the rest of my life. If you are not working and you're just on vacation, it's going to be different for everyone. Some people really like to organize in like an Excel document, like the timing of what, and that ain't me. I do a rough itinerary of like, okay, here's every single day, and I do it just like in my notes on my phone, so it goes from computer to phone. I list like each city that I'm going to be in, any important information like when my flight gets in, where I'm supposed to pick up the car that I'm renting, what the addresses is of all the places I'm staying, and I just do a general skeleton. And then for each day I list possibilities, so like, here are the top three museums. Here are the 5 Michelin star restaurants near where I'm staying. Here's an excursion for going to the coast and seeing the cliffs. And I list them all. And unless they require like booking in advance, I don't book them in advance. I wake up and I decide what I want to do. Or at night, I decide what I want to do the next day. It really, this type of travel lends itself to flexibility. So lean into flexibility, because when you're traveling with other people, you probably need to plan.
It's hard.
Because you got to account for someone else. So that's fine. So you maximize your time just by knowing what your options are in advance. Do the research in advance and then just make decisions on the fly about what you want to do. And at night, depending on where you are, if you are in a place where, you know, you want to be really safe at night, then have a great day. Get up earlier, maximize your day, and then go home, you know, safely at night and read a book, call your friends, you know, do things just in your hotel or your Airbnb. Versus like when I was in England and Scotland, I felt extremely safe to go out and go hard at night. So like I would party.
That was the fun trip.
That was the fun trip. I had fun. You can join like little pub crawls, like organized pub crawls. You can do all sorts of fun stuff at night. So you'll also probably understand whether you're going to maximize your day or your night based on where you are in the world.
I like that you called them possibilities, the list of a list of items, because it's true. It makes it less like daunting that you have to, you know, go see everything on your list.
I'll bold anything that I must do. If I'm like, I will be devastated if I don't do this. It is bolded. I must. But all the others are like suggestions if I'm feeling them. And then I have to remind myself, don't get mad at yourself that you spent too long here and missed this, because it's okay. Right. It can also be first of many trips. You can always go back.
Totally. Okay. So you mentioned nighttime and just safety in general. Let's chat safety. Do you have any tips for staying safe while alone, especially as a woman? And you're smiling because I know you just had a fucking...
Girl, do I ever.
You went through the ringer on this last trip. So give us
gather around, children. Allow me to tell you a story. It's good. We can laugh now.
Yes, we can.
I think right off the bat, if you know you're going to be in a place where you need to be careful, like I found... as we mentioned, that Morocco was so safe and so lovely when I went there. But because I had been told so much about how you have to be careful, I dressed more conservatively. And I only went out at night to like have drinks if I was meeting someone. Like I wasn't like going out and
by myself
trying to meet people. So you'll get a feeling for different places where you just want to be more careful than in other places. But as I learned on this last trip, it can be anywhere that is unsafe. So I had no issues in Morocco whatsoever. And then in Portugal, in Lisbon, after a night out at the bar, I was standing on the side of a street. I had my phone out in front of me because I was using the map to figure out how the heck to get home. And I got mugged. And someone hit me with their bike, stole my phone. It was a whole thing.
Like I super injured your foot. Her foot.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I broke my ankle. It's still, this was 3 weeks ago and it's still purple and black and I can't exercise or really do anything on it. But it was so brutal for so many reasons. And a lot of them are good lessons though going forward. So lesson number one, I usually just innately stay in hotels when I'm traveling by myself. Like sometimes Airbnb can be more budget. But there's something that feels really like a safety net when you're in a hotel because you know there's a concierge that can help you. You know there's someone that can like help you get a cab, you know, before you go to the airport. Like there's a built-in safety net. I was having a lot of trouble in Lisbon finding a hotel because I booked everything super, super last minute, which is what I do. And I ended up staying at a rental apartment and all access was through codes. And so I didn't have a key. I didn't have anything. I mean, this could have happened if I'd had a key too. They could have taken my purse with the key. But everything was through codes and those codes were on my phone. So I got locked out of my apartment and couldn't get in for the entire night. I was outside for like, I don't know, freaking 10 hours, like on the curb crying. God. And so try to have backups. If it's a key, if it's a key card, if it's a code, write it down on a piece of paper and keep that with you because that was a nightmare. I had no way of contacting anyone because I didn't have a phone.
Right.
Shit show.
Ugh.
If I'd been in a hotel, I would have had my phone stolen, but the course of shit show that occurred over the following 2 days wouldn't have happened. Someone would have let me in. There would have been a concierge. Someone could have helped me get a cab. Someone could have helped me contact the police. I really do think if you're traveling alone, stay in a hotel. No one's going to follow you home also if you're in a lobby full of people and there's security guards and stuff. Whereas if you're staying by yourself in an apartment, like it is less safe. There isn't protection built into that. I also now, after this trip, would really recommend having a spare phone. Like, get one of your old phones that you don't use. And you can always buy a local SIM card there if you need to, or just use it on Wi-Fi. Buy a shitty, cheap phone for, like, $200 off of Facebook Marketplace and bring that spare. I so wish I had done that because my life would have been so much easier if I had a spare. Thank God I had a laptop. So any extra device that you can bring, bring it and always leave it where you're staying because... without that laptop, I wouldn't have been able to like check into my flight and like order an Uber through the web browser and set an alarm. Like, how do you set an alarm for your flight, which was at like 5 in the morning for me, without a phone? Like, it was so bad. So extra devices, always have, you know, find my iPhone turned on. We know these safety things, but like, you really do need to be aware, especially at night. Like, don't walk around with headphones in. Be aware of your surroundings. Err on the side of being a little bit paranoid. One of the scariest travel moments I've had is when I went to India. It was when there was a lot of news reports of women getting assaulted in cabs, and it was all over the news. And I went like a month later, and my family was so freaking worried. But I was in a cab, and it was a 2-hour cab ride at night from the airport to the ashram that I was going to, and pitch black. It's like midnight. And I was scared. And so I also always bring, you can't bring it in your carry-on, as I learned. But if you're bringing checked luggage, I bring like a Swiss Army knife. And so I had the knife, I put it in my purse, and was just like, worst case, I've got something I can use. And the guy took us on this creepy, creepy road, pulled over under a bridge, and there was a group of motorcyclists. And I was like, I'm getting sold. This is it. I'm done. I almost threw up. I was shaking. My entire body was shaking. He gets out. He goes and talks to the motorcyclist. I have the knife in my hand, and I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? I've never been so scared in my entire life. And then he gets back in the car and we drive off, and I'm like, sir, what's happening? What's happening? And he just turns around and he goes, lost, lost. And like points to his GPS, and it doesn't know where it is. And it just keeps like rerouting. And it's like, we've lost service.
Oh my God. He was lost.
He got lost. And he was just, I don't know. I guess he saw headlights on down this road and turned to go ask the people. And so it was all good. But like, what if it wasn't? So you just have to be prepared and have something that you can use. If you're in a situation, you know, like maybe just like bring a little pocket knife. It can't hurt. But really just let people know where you are if you're alone. Share your itinerary in advance.
Yeah.
Share your location. That stuff really helps. The world is a really, like, compared to what we all are told and fed, the world is a safe place. And there are so many more good people that want to help you than there are bad people. But let me tell you, I was feeling pretty fucking awful when I got mugged, and it was a shitty experience. And I don't want people to be like so scared traveling alone, but like a small amount of healthy fear is probably what will keep you on guard and keep you safe. Yeah. I wouldn't let people buy me drinks, for example, because I don't know what they're going to do with them. So I buy my own drinks. I don't put them down. I don't ask people to watch them. You gotta just be safe.
Those are some bomb tips.
wish I'd known a few of them before the mugging.
Hindsight's 20/20, and now you have perfect vision, so it's okay. And you're safe. You're good. So
yeah,
everything's
okay. And man, let me tell you, we were supposed to do this episode right when I got back, and I couldn't because I was so devastated. And I was like, I can't talk about travel without crying right now, because it was a really shitty fucking experience. And just even trying to get my insurance claim and trying to get a new phone and all of it, it's been terrible. And thinking like they could use my credit card and my Apple Pay, like all of it, nightmare. So it took me a few weeks to remember the good, but I also feel like in a weird way, it was my own mental test on myself to be like, can you overcome a shitty experience that's one experience out of like hundreds that you've had, and remember that you love this for a reason and it's great and I'm going to go back and do it all again. Bad things happen in the cities we live in at home. And you can't let it poison you. So it was a little test. I'm trying to overcome it and remember that there's so much more good than there is bad every time you put yourself out there into the world.
As the grader of this test, you get flying colors, A++, because I'm so inspired from this friggin' episode to travel solo. So yay. I think whatever shitty lesson was thrown at you, you've come above it. Snaps.
Thanks,
for
man.
Jill.
I mean, hey, if this hadn't happened, I just would have come on here and been like, everything is safe, guys. You don't need to do anything. The world is beautiful. So if nothing else, maybe this all helped me pass on some shit that I wish I had done differently. It could have been worse. So I will now be prepared for the rest of my life to be a little bit more careful.
Okay, so we've come to the end of our travel journey. And I would just love to know, in summary of everything you so fabulously shared with everybody today, what are your top 3 tips that everyone should take away for traveling solo?
I would say, if you're going to take 3 things away from this, it would be, number 1, do a lot of research to make sure that you're going somewhere that's going to resonate with you at that time, in terms of good weather, in terms of what you're passionate about. Choose carefully to make sure you're going to get the experience and the intention that you have set and that it's a good time of year to go. Lean into the discomfort, I think. It's an incredible experience and lesson in getting to know yourself and getting comfortable with yourself and your own company. That is where all of the deep, good work comes. So don't like shut down and distract yourself and, you know, just really be there, be present, be with yourself. You will learn so, so, so much, and it will accelerate your journey to whatever it is that you're looking for. And pad the beginning of your trip with some like group activity, and then you're going to be set up really well for the rest of the time on your own.
Dude, I'm not even joking. I'm so like, I'm going to go out and talk to Gabe and be like, I'm leaving for 4 days.
Good day. I will see you in a month.
Goodbye. But no, seriously, thank you so much for sharing all these tips. I know this is going to inspire a lot of people to travel solo and just know that it's okay. You can have fun. There'll be a little bit of self-discovery along the way. Take care of yourself. Be safe. And it'll change your life from it what will. It sounds.
It has changed mine many times over. I cannot recommend it enough. Go solo. You will come back a more confident, self-aware, and inspired person. I promise you.
Yes. So if any of you have any other burning questions for us and you want to get us in the hot seat, DM us or email us your cues at contact@teachmehowtoadult.ca, and we'll dive into them in an upcoming Asking for a Friend episode.
So there you have it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard today, it would mean the world to us if you would subscribe and leave a comment or a rating.
And we'd love it if you would share this with your friends by screenshotting the episode and sharing it on social by tagging @TeachMeHowToAdultPodcast. And DM us with any topics or guests you'd like to hear on the show. See you next time. Bye!